Welcome, dear listeners, to the GCPP Radio Hour, brought to you on behalf of Random Acts of Brownies, pastries so good you will want to eat one every day. In tonight's radio drama, we continue the classic Bram Stoker story of Dracula. When we last left New York, Mrs. Mina Harker had seen her new husband Jonathan off on a business trip on a rainy day in April 1924. It is now August of the same, and she and her close friend, Miss Lucy Westenra, have been coming to the harbor for 4 months, hoping for some news from Mr. Harker.
Oh, Mina, I just don't know what I would have done if Arthur hadn't proposed to me. I do like Dr. Seward, and he has an attractive face, but I felt a kind of desperation when I was with Arthur. You do know the kind of desperation I mean, of course. You felt it too with Jonathan, didn't you? Mina, are you listening?
What? Oh, of course I am, Lucy. I am so happy for you. Jack is a wonderful man.
Now I know you aren't listening. I said I would accept Arthur's proposal of marriage, dear sister.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. My mind is just so far out of sorts.
So far out to sea, it seems.
A ship drifts in and out of focus on the horizon, catching Lucy's attention.
We have been coming to this dock for so long, I do believe we're qualified to comment on the state of the ships coming into it. That one there, it looks a bit queer, don't you think?
Yes, it does. Like it doesn't have a captain at the helm. No matter. What sort of wedding dress do you think you will wear? Mine, I fear, is a bit too conservative for you.
It is a stunning dress, though. I do hope you have occasion to wear it again. I think I want a fringed dress like all those flapper women wear. Arthur took me to a nightclub just last month, and all of the highest class ladies were wearing these dresses that looked like short, thigh-length slips with long dancing tendrils of fringe covering them. Think if I could have one of those in a cream or silver.
You would certainly be the talk of West Egg with all their old money and traditionalism. I suppose it would be nice to have the spotlight of slander off me for a change.
Darling, no one is slandering you. They're pitying you for losing your husband after the war.
I haven't lost my husband, thank you very much. He went on a business trip to Europe and hasn't written once, nor returned yet in 4 months.
The three of us were so close.
We still are, Lou. And once Jonathan returns, we all will be again.
Oh, I do hope so, sister. I find it almost funny to still be calling you sister, but we grew up together, and that is who you are to me.
Out of the mist and crashing waves, the Demeter careens into the dock, its strong metal hull slicing into the wood and sending both Mina and Lucy running for the cover along with the harbor master and a handful of sailors. Tugboats quickly rope the Demeter and halt her deadly entrance into the New York harbor. Both women run to Lucy's Oldsmobile 30 Tourer, its top still down, and race back to the Murray estate where preparations are being made for a party that night to announce Lucy's engagement.
Well, that was enough excitement for a lifetime.
Come back here, dear sister. You're not going to bed and cut out of the excitement of this evening's party.
Oh, I had nearly forgotten with Jonathan's ship not arriving and that other ship nearly killing us. Would you miss me terribly if I...
Tut, tut, not another word. Come help me unpin my hat and then you can relax here with the radio. Here, let me turn it on for you. Then you have to get ready.
You use so many pins.
Well, I had to, with the top being down and...
Oh, Lucy, your beautiful long hair.
Bobbed for the times. You gotta keep up with fashion, my dear. Lest you become old once you're married. Don't tell anyone about my hair. I want it to be a surprise at the party.
Sister Secret!
It will be a surprise, nay, a shock, I say.
Come sit down and drink this gin, Ricky.
Gin? Where did you...
Shh! Too many questions. Why do you think I go to the candy shop so often? Now relax. I must go and get ready.
I do have to admit, this drink does seem to quiet my nerves. If only Jonathan was here. So peaceful.
We interrupt the Jazz Jubilee Hour to bring you this breaking news. The mystery of the Demeter ship crashing into Pier 58 of the Chelsea Piers has just become more mysterious, for it seems to be that the ship was a ghost ship, no passengers nor any crew. The cargo was undisturbed, including 50 boxes of earth bound for Carfax Abbey, located on Long Island. Perhaps the answers lie in the missing captain's sailing log.
Lucy?
We now return you to your regularly scheduled
Lucy,
program.
Where are you? You won't believe!
It was the largest party of the year, each in the latest fashions, but none as dazzling as Lucy Westenra. Or shall I say, the fiancée of Mr. Arthur Morris, upcoming senator, and highly admired by those of West Egg. Congratulations, Mr. Morris. The best man has won her hand, Mr. Senator.
Dr. Seward, the election is still ways off, and call me Arthur. It was a stiff competition, especially against you, a famous psychologist. Maybe you spend too much time in your books.
Oh, maybe you should ask my teacher, Sigmund Freud. He's over there talking to your fiancé.
Ooh. I better get over there before Lucy becomes my ex-fiancé.
The lights flicker as a fog rolls in through the open veranda doors. The dancers seem to freeze in time as the music changes. From out of the mist, a tall, dark figure appears, draped in a flowing cloak. He takes Lucy's hand and leads her to the center of the room. She seems lost in a trance or perhaps a dream. They dance through the swirling fog as everyone else from the party disappears. A shadowed figure traces a hand down Lucy's face and leans into her as everything goes dark.
You need not worry here, my beauty. You will live forever, Miss Westenra.
Lucy! Lucy! Lucy!
Lucy! There you are! Where have you been? You missed all the excitement!
I'm not sure. I think I need to lie down. Too much gin, perhaps.
Lucy, dear, I was so worried. I thought I'd lost you some scoundrel.
Oh, Arthur, I'm sorry to have worried you.
Miss Westenra takes her leave of the party to lie down in her bedroom, unsure of what to make of the strange occurrence. The party winds down, leaving only Mina, Mr. Morris, and myself to conclude the night.
And you said she seemed out of sorts. Exhausted?
Well, yes. But we had a great scare at the harbor today, what with the ship nearly crushing us. I wouldn't have any blame for her if she became overwrought.
But that doesn't seem like Aunt Lucy. Doesn't explain the odd surge in the electricity either.
How has her sleepwalking been of late, Miss Mina? Anything seem odd there?
No, nothing. She still wanders the halls, but doesn't seem to be dressing or trying to escape the confines of the house. She hasn't tried to unlock her balcony in months, either, after we brought it to her attention.
I see. I wonder what could have brought her to such fatigue, then.
I told you it was the gin!
Lucy!
There's nothing to worry about, darlings. I just misjudged how much drink I could actually handle. Now I believe it is time for all of us to either go to bed or go home. Good night.
Arthur and I say goodnight to the ladies and leave, with Mina and Lucy retiring to Lucy's bedroom.
I know you don't want anyone to worry, Lucy, but I worry when you have an episode like that. I don't want you to fall to some illness like your mother did. I don't want to lose you too soon.
I promise you're worrying for nothing. Save your energies for waiting for your dashing husband to return. Surely he will require them more than I do.
I cannot promise to not worry for you, sister, but I will try to keep my anxieties at bay for you. Please don't shut me out, though. If you feel any other odd sensations, please let me know, and I will call Jack straight away.
You and Jack are both too kind to me. Whatever would I do without you? Make sure to also call Arthur. It wouldn't do to make him jealous without even being married yet.
Good night, sister. Sweet dreams.
Denn die Toten reiten schnell.
What did you say?
I said, sweet dreams to you, sister.
Of course. Good night, sister.
Mina goes to her own bedchambers and readies herself for bed. As she sits at her dressing table brushing her own long hair, she takes a moment to pull it up into a mock bob. She drops it suddenly when she remembers.
Lucy's balcony. I forgot to check that it was locked.
She moves to her own balcony and looks out toward Lucy's. The door, gently swinging open in the light breeze, brings Mina to a mild panic, and she rushes to Lucy's room and gently opens the door to find...
fast asleep, softly in bed. And her balcony? The door's closed. I must have imagined it being open. Perhaps I had too much gin, too.
To soothe her nerves, Mina double-checks the lock to the French doors. Locked. As she reaches the hall, a shiver climbs her spine as though struck with a sudden chill. She shakes it off and returns to her own room to sleep. The next day, she finds Lucy unable to rouse herself from bed and calls Arthur and me to the Murray estate.
Thank you for coming over so quickly, Jack. And you as well, Arthur. How is she?
I am not entirely certain how to answer that. Lucy shows all the signs of one who is anemic, but shows no direct sign of blood loss. I have given her 2 transfusions, but nothing within my practice seems to be helping.
What are we to do, Jack?
There is not much we can do right now, it seems. We could try another transfusion, but I will need to get more blood from my hospital, which will take time that we may not have.
Use mine. I have more than enough.
Arthur, we don't even know if your health is actually high enough to... No. You love her, and it might be what saves her. We will try after lunch. Food is good to have before this kind of procedure. In the meantime, Mrs. Harker... Mina, if you could phone the hospital and ask after a Professor Van Helsing. He was one of my instructors at university. He is a doctor of metaphysics and specialized in obscure diseases. I pray that he will be of some help.
Certainly, Jack. Van Helsing, you say?
Yes, Abraham Van Helsing. He was in Europe until a couple days ago, and is now staying at the dormitories at the university.
We set about getting ready for another transfusion, and the arrival of the professor. The procedure between Arthur and Lucy is completed by late afternoon. Mina sits with Lucy in the bedroom as we wait in the parlor for Van Helsing.
Jack, this Van Helsing, is he trustworthy? Do you think he can actually help our Lucy?
Like I said earlier, I studied under him. He is a bit odd, but brilliant, and he means well. Between this, that ship at the harbor, and that odd Renfield fellow, I fear my own thoughts are stretched beyond their capabilities right now.
How is that odd Renfield fellow doing? You said last that he was getting even more violent. Hard to believe a crazy spider-eating man would get even more violent.
That's the odd thing. He would initially only lash out if we took away his spiders. Then yesterday, for seemingly no reason, he took his own life. Almost exactly at the time that ship crashed. Of course, coincidence certainly does not equal causation of any kind, but it does beg a question as to why.
Arthur and I answer the door. It is Professor Van Helsing. He is carrying a large doctor's bag, bulging at the seams, and follows us back to the parlor, asking for a briefing on Lucy's condition. I fill my old professor in on everything that I know, and the older man insists on examining the girl himself. Following his examination, he joins Mina, Arthur, and I in a sitting room adjoined with Lucy's bedroom.
From your description on the phone, Miss Mina, and yours downstairs, John, I was afraid for this girl's very life. My examination of her confirmed my suspicions. She has been attacked by the very thing I have been hunting.
You mean some animal has done this to Lucy?
Animal is an apt term. But not the one I would use, exactly. Have you all heard of vampires?
Jack! I thought you said he was a man of science.
He is, Arthur. Let us just listen to what he has to say.
Thank you, John. Now, she is not yet gone. To protect her from further harm, we need to hang some of these around her bedside.
Professor Van Helsing produces from his satchel several braids of garlic and wreaths of laurels and herbs. We hang them around Lucy's room to her protestations.
Oh, how foul these smell. Please, Mina. Arthur, open the balcony window. I cannot hardly breathe with these around me.
Lucy, darling, Professor Van Helsing assures us that these are for your health, and the night air might bring in a chill upon you.
Oh, Artie, please, just a moment on the balcony. I'll even allow you to carry me there and back.
Lucy, you must not overexert yourself. Doctor's orders. Both of them.
Mina, pray for my soul, Mina. Watch over me. Do not let me go.
Fear not the darkness. I am here.
I fear not the night. I fear the dawn. It will come. Or never come again.
Sister, no. Rest, my love. Do not think such dark thoughts. I will watch over you, and tomorrow will be a new beginning.
Mina, we are going to retire to the guest rooms.
I will be along shortly, after knowing she's safe. Lucy, I need you to stay here and rest. Please, for me?
You worry so much. But I know, I fear that if the night isn't vanquished for me, I will not see the dawn. He calls for me, even now.
Who? Arthur? No, dear, he doesn't need to call for you. I'll send him in when I go.
Please don't go. I'll not see you again if you do. He will take me. He will end my life. Please don't leave.
Lucy,
don't
Lucy,
leave.
Lucy, stop, Lucy. Lucy, please calm down. Here, drink this. It is from the doctor and will calm your nerves.
Mina eventually manages to coax Lucy to sleep and goes out to the guest rooms to retrieve Arthur. I rush to Lucy's room, Mina and Van Helsing close behind, to find Arthur cradling Lucy's limp, pale body on the ground.
Jack! Help me, please!
Arthur, what is it?
I found you here!
What's wrong?
Something was on the balcony and I
looked for it,
but it was... Arthur. It was gone! Help
Arthur,
me.
Please, calm
Help
down.
Me, please, I don't want to leave
Arthur.
Her alone!
Arthur! Arthur! She's gone.
We mourn young Lucy's loss. Mina, a sister. Arthur and I. A love. She is buried the following week, in Mina's wedding dress, at Mina's insistence. A young bride-to-be should still be given her due, was Mina's reasoning. Also, at Mina's insistence, Lucy was entombed in the Murray Private Cemetery in a single-vault mausoleum, located immediately next to the vaults that contained Jack and Anna Westenra, Lucy's parents. Soon after, children begin disappearing in the area.
The fourth child to go missing this week. Police urge the parents of Long Island to keep their children indoors and monitor them to and from school. Patrols will be increased, and anyone with any information is encouraged to contact their local law enforcement division. Next, Broadway Beat with Jane.
How dreadful. I do wish Jonathan were here. He could give me some sense of normal.
I appreciate you inviting me over for dinner, Mina, but why the secrecy?
Arthur, if I tell you this, I need you to promise not to tell another soul.
I swear, it won't leave my lips.
Professor Van Helsing visited with me yesterday evening. He had some rather concerning things to say that made no sense, and yet fit completely with recent events. These recent disappearances. He thinks they may be tied to Lucy.
What? This garbage again? He's still raving about vampires, and now he's claiming my Lucy is connected to some children going missing?
In so many words, yes. I'm inclined to believe him because, well, I have seen her.
What, like a dream? I see her every night.
I thought it might have been a dream, but it felt so real. She was there, in my dress, but she looked so cold, so gone. It was the most frightening experience of my life. And the next morning, on my balcony, were two muddy footprints and...
And what?
Well, in my dream, or my vision, or whatever it was, she had a child with her. Not more than 4 years old, like the second child who... That following morning, the footprints that were there were also soaked in blood. Arthur, I don't want to believe it either, but I fear our Lucy may have been tainted by something horrible. I've taken to sleeping with a cross to hopefully protect against whatever monstrous thing she has become.
What else did Van Helsing say?
Oh, Arthur. He said that if she has become this thing, that she needs to be put down, killed, or else she might pose a greater threat.
This is insanity. I have lost my fiancé, and this madman wants to hunt her like a dog. Call him here. I want him to say this to my face. Get Jack here, too, with a straitjacket for this lunatic.
Mina phones the hospital and university and calls on Professor Van Helsing and myself to come to the estate. Arthur remains fuming the whole time until we each arrive. Van Helsing elaborates on what he had told Mina.
It is not enough for the vampire to live its own life. It feeds on the living and on occasion is known to take the bodies of its victims and make them vampires unto themselves. If, as I am certain, the vampire has taken your Lucy and transfigured her into a hellish bride, then she is no longer your Lucy. This beast may resemble her, but not anymore a child of God. Let us re-examine the facts of her case.
Which facts are these, Professor? She is dead. We saw her buried ourselves.
Dead once, yes. But listen to me. We are dealing with forces beyond the whole of human experience. You're a man of science, John. Tell me, you noted the marks on her neck, did you not?
Yes, I noted them, but no disease. No weeping of the wounds, but I am sure the blood loss occurred there.
And where did the blood go, Doctor?
There was never any sign of great blood loss. Her bedclothes and nightgown would have been saturated.
Exactly. John, not everything can be explained by science, no matter how hard we try. Do you not believe that there are things which you cannot understand, but are without a doubt fundamentally true?
I suppose, but modern science does not admit to such creatures, even in the subconscious mind. Medicine has taught us that—
We are not fighting the disease here. Mr. Morse, those marks on your Lucy's neck were made by something unspeakable.
I've heard enough. I cannot stand here and listen to such horrible things. Hear my friends fighting over the soul of such a wonderful woman struck down so fast.
Mina flees the conversation and retreats to her bedchamber. She collapses upon the bed and weeps. She cries for her lost Jonathan, her Lucy ripped from her. Most of all, she cries from sheer exhaustion.
Mina! Mina, dear, let me in!
Lucy?
Dear sister, I want to give you what I have, to share with you my joy. Death was only the beginning.
Lucy beckons to Mina beyond the glass, and turns just slightly to reveal a baby in her arms. Mina's scream summons us from the parlor. When we arrive, she informs us what has happened.
She was there. She had a babe in arms. She wanted me to join her. Oh, Arthur, it's true.
I suggest we remain vigilant tonight and take watch over Miss Mina. Tomorrow, whether you go with me or not, I will go to this crypt and end this unlife.
I will go with you. I want to see this for myself. See if it really is as you say. My bride in death, but not in life. A flower cut before its time.
If this thing is as dangerous as you claim, Professor, I want to be there as well. This could be a sincerely miraculous medical breakthrough.
There's nothing miraculous about it, John. It is brought on by hell itself. But come, we will rotate shifts with Miss Mina. I will sit first, knowing most about what we are dealing with.
The rest of the night passed without incident. Each of us sitting with Mina as she slept fitfully. The next afternoon, we convened in the parlor.
I wish to go with you. I was her closest friend, and she mine.
I cannot allow you to go with us. This is not an easy work for anyone. And it is possible that the sight of her like this will cause you too much pain and distress.
Mina, I know how you feel. But I think you are safer here, behind the locked walls of your home.
Arthur is right. Make certain the doors are locked tight, and we will be back before too long.
We leave the estate, making certain the front door of the house is dead-bolted before traveling to the nearby cemetery. We arrive at the Westerner crypts and approach the tomb of Miss Lucy.
Professor, there are footprints leading out of the tomb.
Yes, John. Good eye. Also note the crypt door is not held fast. You have the axe ready, Mr. Morse.
Yes, Professor. I am ready to do this awful deed.
As we pull on the crypt door, we find it difficult to move even with the three of us, despite it being partially ajar. After managing to open it enough for each of us to slip through, we enter the tomb. And in the beams of our flashlights could be seen the body of young Lucy laying upon the bier.
Professor, why are her lips so red? I have seen dozens of dead bodies, and none of them ever looked so lifelike.
She is gorged with blood. Quickly, John, take the knife and plunge it through her heart. And Mr. Morse, remove her head before she awakens.
I cannot desecrate her corpse in such a way. My Lucy.
Arthur.
Lucy?
Arthur, darling. Come to me, my beloved. Leave these others and join me in this embrace.
Arthur drops the axe and walks to embrace his dead bride. Van Helsing leaps between them with a crucifix and splashes the vampire with holy water as I grab Arthur.
No! Stay back!
Arthur, come back to us. She isn't your fiancée anymore.
The beast in Lucy's flesh leaps backwards and attempts to grab for Van Helsing. He pins her down to the bier in a surprising show of strength, forcing the blade of his dagger through her heart and the marble of the funeral platform.
Axe, now! Remove her head!
Arthur grabs the axe, the spell of the vampire broken, and in one clean swing chops off her head. Our grisly work complete. We collect ourselves and head back to the Murray estate. At the estate, however, we will find a scene not unlike what transpired earlier in the month.
Who are you?
I am the knight. I am the one who will give you eternal life. Come to me, Mina.
Yes, I will.
As the Count pulls Mina into his dark embrace, the front door to the manor opens. Mina collapses onto the floor as a man comes to her aid.
Mina, please wake up. It's me. It's Jonathan. Darling, look at me, please!
Jonathan has returned from beyond the sea. But how? And what of this Renfield? Why did Professor Van Helsing return to the United States shortly before all this began? Come back next time for the thrilling conclusion to Dracula.